Ephesians chapter 5, if you would, please. I believe that, I don't know. Let's just go ahead and stand. I think we have two more after this for the family, to study the family, because I want to do everything justice as far as the endeavor, the earnest, the diligence, you know, the things that we said incorporated the thing of studying, and as we set our mind on a particular topic, and I've been convinced that we've really got to hone in on the families. We're a church family. We have Christian families. I think the family unit is being attacked maybe more than anything else in our world today. So we need to raise up generations of young people that know what a dad is and know what a mom is and know what kids are and know what they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to act. By the way, some of us need to know what we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to act. And we need grandparents to be an example and parents to be an example and kids to see that example. I think we need this. And we really need to study this out and make sure we're going according to what the Bible says. So you're standing. I'm talking. We're going to read here in Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to begin in verse 22. You follow along. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The word father is listed many times in our Bibles, okay? Now, not all the time is it talking about the characteristics of a father. I appreciate, Brother, 49 today you were on, is that right? Okay. So, can I just tell you something? As we go through these things, this is the design of God Almighty. And it goes along with everything else we've been talking about, the doctrine, right? The church, how it's ordered and functions, music, etc., the different things we've talked about. Well, the family unit is no different, if you will, than any of those other things. It ought to be done correctly. It ought to be done according to God's design. All the different things that God has put into order to be done with the family should be done according to his design and his order. Okay? So as we get to these things, these are things you know. I don't have time to go over all of them. And I want to give equal time because the role of a man, if it's just a husband, or if it's a father, husband and a father, or whatever case may be, but there's a role for the man, there's a role for the woman, and there's a role for the children. And I want to give them all credence because they're all important. Okay, I'm not going to say one is more important than the other because they're all how God designed them to be. So the man needs to do what the man's supposed to do. The wife, woman's supposed to do what the woman's supposed to do. The children are supposed to be what the children are supposed to be. And they're all supposed to pull their, if you will, their own way. I really despise, in our country, this idea of, what they call racism or sexism or whatever they want to call it. these different terms, right? Where, you know, you shouldn't say that women can't do this and men can't do that and children can't do this. Or, you know, why? Why can't I say that? God says that. You know, so that's what they're supposed to be. That's what they're supposed to. And it doesn't make one less than the other, or does it make one less important than the other. They're all, if you will, in my mind, what I want to try to say is they're all equal because man's supposed to be what man's supposed to be. Woman's supposed to be what woman's supposed to be. Children are supposed to be what children are supposed to be. The family's supposed to be what God says the family's supposed to be. And so there is no, well, you think you're better than. No, I don't. I'm just what God created me to be, and I need to be what God created me to be the best I can be. And that's the bottom line. So tonight we're just going to try to focus in on the man, okay? God created man. Is that fair? All right? So that was the, as far as human beings go, the first of the creation was man, and then came woman. And after man and woman, then came the... So guess what? We're going to go in that order, okay? So tonight is going to be man, next Sunday night is going to be woman, and the next Sunday night is going to be children, okay? And so we're just going to follow the biblical order of things and how it goes. Now, like I said before, I want you to notice on my paper, this is nine-point font. I believe it's, I think it's Arial. I'm not sure if it's Times Roman or not. But just these verses, these are just Bible verses here, okay? This is a small fraction. And usually it takes me 45 minutes to go through two pages of things like this with the comments that I have in between. So I want you to know that these are not all of the things that we can say about the father or the husband, okay? But let me give you the gist of it. Since we have a heavenly father, and God is told to us in the scriptures as our example of what a father should be. Can I just say to men out there, or young men that want to be men, or trying to grow up to be men, okay? I'm not going to give you that title yet, okay? All right? But we'll you're getting there, okay? We'll encourage you along the way, all right? And we need to realize we have an example. If you want to be a good man, a good husband, a good father, then follow those characteristics that Brother Freeze is preaching about the characteristics of our God. Look to our Heavenly Father and what His example is, and that's what you should be. You say, well, that's just too easy. Yeah, it's not that hard, okay? God didn't want to make it hard. Now, are you going to achieve that? Well, probably not, but that's something to strive for, okay? So, as we look at these things, let's go first of all to 1 Peter 3. We mentioned this passage last week. But we want to make sure that as a family, and so gentlemen, even though I'm preaching to you tonight, ladies, you can listen in, all right? And so that way you'll know what a man's supposed to be, what a father's supposed to be, what a husband's supposed to be. So, you know, and you know what? Part of our problem in life is unrealistic expectations. Right? And so if we're expecting a man to be something and he's not that thing, right? Then that's a letdown, right? I mean, we have those problems in our lives. But if it's a realistic expectation, great. But if it's an unrealistic expectation, we need to change our expectations. So it's good for us all to know, I mean, gentlemen, we should know what the Bible says about being a man, being a husband, being a father. And ladies, you should know what the Bible says about what a man should be, a father should be, a husband should be. Children, young men, young ladies, you should know. Because you know what? Guys, you should want to grow up to be what the Bible says a man, a husband, a father should be. And ladies, you should be looking for what the Bible says a man, a husband, and a father should be. And so that's the premise of what things... And guess what? As a church family, we're all getting to study this thing of what each of these elements to do. And next week, we get to pick on the ladies, right? We get to have... I'll be very kind and nice, okay? I'll be biblical about it. All right. Now, so here we are in 1 Peter. There, 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verses 4 through 7. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, who's the them, the wife, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good, let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Okay, so this is a great admonition. And by the way, we're just singling this out tonight, particularly for the fathers, for the husbands, for the men, that we need to be the right kind of man. Now, it helps everyone to start out with salvation. Because it's really hard to do any of these things or to be like God or have any characteristics of God or have any semblance of knowledge of love if we haven't experienced the ultimate love, and that is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Okay, so we've got to start there. So salvation is a must. All right? So you understand that if we want the family unit to be successful, the dad, the man, the husband needs to be born again. And guys, I know where I'm standing. I think this is right, a cognizant ability. I understand what I'm doing. Okay, I know what's going on. And you say, Pastor, you're in an old-fashioned independent Baptist church. Of course everybody in here is saved. Maybe. I hope. Maybe not. Right? But it's something I should mention. Because it begins with a new birth. And we've got to realize that salvation is paramount. If a husband's going to be what a husband needs to be, if a dad's going to be what a dad needs to be, he must be born again. Absolutely paramount. That's the first step. And so we've got to be able to be understanding of what God wants. Back in our text, Paul tells the Ephesians that the husbands are supposed to love their wives even as Christ also loved the church. So, guys, if you don't know what that's like, how can you love your wife that way? If you don't know the love that Jesus Christ has for you as part of his bride, then how can you love your wife that way? You've got to experience that. And listen, folks, this is all about following the example. Being obedient to the example. Let's go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. We're going to take a little search through the Bible here. And again, this is not exhaustive. It might be exhausting, but it's not exhaustive. And we're going to go through these things and just see some of these things that what a man is supposed to be as the head of the family. Now, remember in our text, the Bible says that the man is supposed to be the head of the wife. Therefore, he's the head of the family. Okay? And so, we know that God is the head, right, of things. And so the man is following that example. We are created in the image of God. Look at Psalm 103. Look at verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. For as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. And his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Okay, so this is a great example, once again, of what God is to us and what we ought to be to our families. Okay, so as we go back to the text and keeping these things in mind, we're just going to keep highlighting these characteristics. Because as Paul is talking about these things, you understand that it down here it says in verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Okay? So these are things over in 1 Peter. We know that the things of love and being pitiful and courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. Folks, this is a relationship. And it's supposed to be mercy and grace and kindness, loving kindness, long suffering, forgiveness. All of these things are incorporated with what we're supposed to do. By the way, all those things are incorporated with what God is to us. So we have this example. And so men, fathers, husbands, this is what we need to be for our household. And young men, this is what you need to become for your households in the future. And old men, this is what you need to be as an example, not only to your children, but to the children's children and to the children's children, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, however long you have an opportunity to be this for that example. God is our ultimate example. But as we can replicate that here on this earth, it's something tangible people can look at, they can hold it, they can see it, and they say, oh yeah, that's what I'm supposed to be like. And so we have this responsibility to be like this. Over in Proverbs chapter 3, Solomon says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son, in whom he delighteth. Now, let me just say something here. Just because we have mercy and grace and long-suffering and forgiveness and kindness doesn't mean we don't correct people. Right? Husbands, it's our job to correct things. Don't just let things continue that are wrong in your home. And guess what? The buck stops here. Start with yourself. The Bible tells us we're supposed to examine. Let a man examine himself. You know, gentlemen, let me go over here. Young men, you'll do well if you learn this. Learn to examine yourself. Make sure you're right with God. Because it starts with you. If you're going to lead people, you need to be right. And I have to look at myself. If I'm going to lead the church, then I need to be right. If I'm going to leave my home, then I need to be right. And folks, listen, I can tell you that as an assistant pastor, there's been times where I've made the wrong decision or I've made an error in judgment, and I've had to apologize for that. Now, the same is true in my family. I've had to apologize to my family for things. I've had to go before God and apologize to God for my own personal life, things that I've that's good. We need to do that. And it's not weakness to apologize and to get things fixed in your life. That's actually great strength and something we ought to do. Because the Lord loveth, it says, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. And guess what? According to the text that we read in Ephesians, the supporting text we read in 1 Peter, we should feel that way about our wives. We should have a good enough relationship to be able to work with our wives, to lead our wives to be an example to our wives, to say I'm sorry, to forgive and to be forgiven. All of these things should be, we should seek peace and ensue it. We should refrain our tongue from evil. We should love life. All these things that Peter says, we should be the head of the church. We should cherish it and nourish it, nourisheth it. All of these things should be part of what a husband is in the home. It's a big shoes to fill, if you will, gentlemen, trying to follow God's example. That doesn't mean we shouldn't try. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't be the best version of what God created us to be. So we need to give attendance to it. We need to try to become that day by day. And if we fall, the Bible says that that a righteous man falleth seven times and riseth up again. So we have an opportunity to correct these things, to get better at these things as a man, as a husband, as a father should be. Over in Psalm 78, verses 1 through 11, the Bible says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." You see, one of the things that I've had to learn as a dad and as a husband and as a man is I am not unto myself. I'm not just responsible for me. I'm married, so I'm responsible for that beautiful lady over there. I'm trying to rack up some extra points, I guess. Okay? And since God has decided to and blessed our family with 13 children, I have that responsibility as well. So now those are my responsibility also. And guess what? For me just to live for me and say, yep, I need to develop a walk with God and I need to be right with God and so that I can be online with God just for myself, for my own benefit, for my own well-being, for my own good. That's not good enough. Because I'm not unto myself. The decisions I make don't just affect me and don't just affect my relationship with God. They also affect her and all those little things down there. Thing one, thing two, thing three, thing four, thing five, thing six, thing seven, thing eight, thing nine, thing ten, thing 11, thing 12, thing 13. Right? All of them. I need to get little suits with all those numbers on there. Blue hair, you know, flopping it around. Now, so he says, our fathers have told us these things. There's some things I need to tell my children. There's some things I need to tell my wife. I am supposed to be the leader, the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. I'm not supposed to look at that, listen to what it says next. We will not hide them from their children. Now, hold on. First of all, it says, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come. We're talking about grandchildren now. The praises of the Lord in his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. See what the responsibility of a father is? So not only is a father supposed to be following the image of God and the example of God, the characteristics of God, being saved, having a new birth, having the Holy Spirit of God, being filled with the Spirit, being following the fruits of the Spirit, And the manifestations of the Spirit in man, we're supposed to do all those things, but we're supposed to show them to the next generations. We're supposed to be vocal about it. We're supposed to be an example, not just in word, but in deed. In our conversation, in our behavior. He says here that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born. So I'm supposed to even be this for the ones that aren't born yet. Establishing a testimony, establishing an example. It says here that they, I love this part of it, that they might, I skipped a part. Who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God. You see, there's something great at stake here, gentlemen, fathers. If we're going to have the right kind of family unit and the right kind of structure, it starts with the man. It starts with the father. And the dad is, and the husband is supposed to be what they're supposed to be, so that the future generations will set their hope in God. You know, it's said that it only takes one generation to go off course. It only takes one. And by the way, it only takes one to get on course. So you see how critical this is. Because just one slip up, and boom, off the tracks. You say, well, yeah, but you just said it only takes one to get back on the tracks. Oh, yes, it does. But you know how hard that is to do? Folks, it's really easy to get off course. And if we're careful, if we're not careful, we'll get off course. It only takes one generation. It says here, it goes on to say, and this is Psalm 78, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So what's a man supposed to be? A man's supposed to have his heart right with God. A man's supposed to be steadfast with God. You know what a man's supposed to be? A man like Job. One who fears God, right? One who is righteous. One who's upright. One who eschews evil. A man is supposed to be an example. Let me just read some of these things to you. Here in Psalm 37, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he, that's God, delighteth in his, that's the man's way. A good man. By the way, don't we have a good God? We sing the song, God is so good, God is so good, right? So God is good. My dad, I don't know where this came from, but my dad always likes to use the phrase, you know, God is good all the time, God is good. Folks, that's one of the characteristics of our great God. He's good. So guess what I want to be? Good. And the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Psalm 112 verse 5, a good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. So guess what, young men? If you want to be a good man, a good husband, a good father, gentlemen, if you want to be a good man, a good husband, a good father, then you need to show favor, lend, guide your affairs with discretion. That's just prudent. You say, why? Why should I do that? Because the Bible says so. The Bible says a good man, his steps are ordered by the Lord. Do you think that God would have a man be selfish? No. That wouldn't be ordered by the Lord. Do you think God would have a man follow the desires and fulfill the lusts of the flesh? No. So we're supposed to say no to those things, aren't we? Because guess what? If we fulfill the lusts of the flesh, we cannot walk in the Spirit. We don't have time to go through all of Romans to go through those things. But we need to know that a good man does it. Proverbs 12, 2. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. Well, guess what? If you want your household to be blessed, don't you need the favor of God? If you want your wife to be blessed, your children to be blessed, your finances to be blessed, the things that you're doing for the Lord. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. That's Proverbs 12:2. Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. And all the kids said, amen. That's right. Okay. I'll leave you a pocket watch or something. I don't even have a pocket watch. So all right. Anyways. How about a list of projects to accomplish? I'll leave you. I have a list of that. I have that. Amen. I can leave you that. Okay, good. But the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Proverbs 14:14. The backslider in his heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. So you understand that goodness is a quality that a man, a husband, a father should have. And where does that come from? Following God's example, because God is good. And so we have these things about man and about the husband. There's another thing about being good. Remember in Matthew 12, this is also found in Luke. Jesus Christ talks about the tree and bearing fruit. It says either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Okay, so it's just an honest to goodness thing, if you will, about what we are by our works. We know that by their fruits ye shall know them. And so if we're going to be what we need to be, gentlemen, for God, we have to be conformed to the image of Christ. And we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. You understand that if we're going to be all that we can be as a husband, as a father, as a man, we've got to have the filling of the Spirit of God. We've got to be ordered by the Lord. God has to be our example so that we can be an example of what God is to others. And folks, this is part of what makes a family unit work. Because if there isn't that example, if there isn't that leadership, if there isn't that drive, if there isn't that, if you will, preaching and teaching and forgiveness and leadership and instruction and the carrying of the load. That's what man was designed to be and to do. The woman, we'll get to this little preview here, is supposed to be the helpmeet. She's not supposed to carry the load. She's not supposed to do all of the heavy lifting. That's what we were created for, guys. And so don't just sit back, I'll just sit back and let my wife do it. Shame on you. That's not what she was created for. That's what you were created for. Go over to Titus chapter 2. We're almost done. You're listening very well tonight. I'm quite impressed. Now, we've read this many times. We'll read this again probably next week. But I want you to notice what Paul told Titus to tell the people, to teach the people here as the pastor. He says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That the aged men, okay, so that the men are the ones that are mature, the aged men, they're supposed to be sober. And that doesn't mean that they're not drunk, all right? They're supposed to have a particular demeanor about them, all right? They're sober. They're not goof-offs and they're not silly and ridiculous. They're sober-minded, okay? They're sober. That they're supposed to be grave, temperate, sound in faith. I like, you could probably insert the word stoic in here a little bit. You know, maybe not quite, you know, just like pious and stoic and monkish, you know, not that kind of thing. But they're serious minded, right? They're maybe matter of fact of sorts. Okay? And so they're supposed to be this way. Temperate, sound in faith, charity in patience. So, can I tell you something? I have to do this for myself because I have a a delicate temperament. I am more patient today than when I was when I got married 22 years ago. Good job. Now, I didn't say how much more patient. But I do have more patience. God knew that I needed to be the principal of a Christian school for 16 years to layer on some patience. Okay? Now, we've studied in James, right? We know that the patience is supposed to have her perfect work in us. And listen, folks, that we may be, what? Entire, right? Wanting nothing. And so, listen. These men, they're supposed to be sound in faith, sound in charity, sound in patience. And this is what the aged men are supposed to be. So if you're supposed to, if you're a husband, a father, you're a man, you're supposed to have this kind of behavior in your life. And by the way, this is sound doctrine. And then we'll skip on here. We'll catch this with the ladies next week. It says, young men likewise exhort to be sober minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. So we have this thing here, and then skip down to verses 13, 14, somewhere in there, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So, folks, listen. I know this is kind of easy, if you will. You're saying, well, Pastor, if I'm going to be a man, the right kind of father, the right kind of husband, then I just need to be like God. Okay, that's the easiest way to put it, okay? Or I just need to be like Christ. Or I just need to follow the examples of God the Father, the characteristics of a man, the characteristics of God, what we should be. Yes, all those things are true. But it's more than just that. It's also in word and in deed, in speech and in life, in behavior, in our example, when people are around, when people are not around, just being a good Christian. Following the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, being born again. We talked about all these things so far because it is what God wants for us to be the leaders of people. The leaders of a wife, the leaders of children. And by the way, let me just reemphasize this. That's our lot, gentlemen. See, I don't want to be the leader. Too bad. It's what God made you to be. So step up and be it. Step up and do it. But it's too hard. Sure it is. And I might fail. Sure you might. But you've got to do it. And if at first you don't succeed, yeah. Try again. Right? If you fall, get back up. Because that's what a real man does. You know what a fake man does? Quits. So, and who said it was easy? And by the way, another thing I can reemphasize this. Do you know that sometimes we men don't love our wives like we're supposed to? Or we neglect to love our wives. I'm not going to use the word forget, okay? Because I don't think that's fair. We neglect to love our wives like we should. But guess what? The Bible tells us to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And just the very fact that the Bible tells us to do it means that it knows that we don't do it sometimes. Because otherwise, why would the Bible give us a command that it knows that we're going to do anyways? Right? So it's something we've got to work at. We've got to work at telling our children, teaching our children, correcting our children, pitying our children, forgiving our children, being merciful to our children and to our wives and to our families. And we've got to grow in this area as parents. One more passage. Go over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want to get to those. Okay, here we are. Very quickly. Look at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Okay, so that's the basis is starting with us. We've got to have the right kind of relationship with God. With all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our might. And then he says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates, and it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, then when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You understand that not only if we're not careful, we'll forget God, but if we forget God, then they'll forget God. And so we've got to be diligent about these things. Now, just lastly, I'll read these to you and we'll be done tonight. We have so many examples in Scripture of good fathers. We also have examples in Scripture of bad fathers and bad parenting and those types of things. But let me just say this. Just like, since we have the comparison in our text of Christ and the church and a husband and the wife and the children, we have an example in 1 Timothy that we need to make sure that we do not neglect. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their own children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Let me just ask you a question. Are those not wonderful, if you will, guidelines or rules for the leadership of the local church? Absolutely they are. So why aren't they wonderful guidelines for the leadership of a home? And of a family? And of a wife? And of children? Folks, these things are not just for pastors. They're not just for deacons. They're for dads. And they're for husbands. And they're for Christians. And if we're going to be what we need to be, then certainly our steps need to be ordered by the Lord. And certainly we must be filled with the Spirit. And certainly we must have the favor of God in our lives and in our families.